Well, Morokeni, a very good morning. Good morning to you, my dear listener. Good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome to Eagle FM. Welcome to your number one talk radio station. So it's a Wednesday morning. Is it Wednesday? Yeah, it is a Wednesday morning. It's a Wednesday morning, 25th of October. Where is my head? Mike. Okay, where is my head? So, 25th of February, the year is 2026. So, my head is actually somewhere else, probably, because I'm saying things that I don't know where I'm getting them. So, a very good morning to you. Welcome. So, it is 2 minutes past 8. Welcome to your favorite station. And thanks for joining us this morning. We always love to be, definitely always love to be in your company. So, David, thank you for transferring the airwave to this side of the world. We now coming to you live and direct from the great mighty of Oshana region. And thanks for joining us. I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock. So my name is Mike Oshaveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business news, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and headlines, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear. Well, sometimes a little witty, but always curious, asking the questions that mattered for you and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM, but we are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation as well. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning and welcome. If you're just joining us, you are absolutely on time and get on board, get on board, get in the class. So welcome. So as usual, and if you're just getting on board, what we do at the very beginning of the show, we look at what happened on this day in Africa. We go into memory lane. Let's take a moment to look back at some important moment on the African continent that happened on this very day. So today, let's first go back to 1885. Let's get back to 1885. It was a very important day. This was the year the famous Berlin Conference came to an end. Now, the European powers met in Germany and essentially divide Africa among themselves. So borders were drawn on the map in Europe with little regard for the people living on that continent. So that meeting accelerated what we now called the scramble of Africa, the scramble for Africa, not Af the scramble for Africa, and its effect are still actually felt across the continent today. That was 1885. So let's fast forward to 1990. Just days after walking free from the prison, Nelson Mandela addressed a massive crowd in Durban. More than 100,000 people gathered to hear him speak. Now, in that speech, Mandela called for unity and urged supporters to end the violence that was happening in parts of KwaZulu-Natal. So it was one of the early moment showing the tone of reconciliation, which he would later bring to South Africa. Now, to 2011, when young people in Mauritania launched what became known as the February 25th movement. Now, inspired by Arab Spring, activists organized protests demanding democratic reform, social justice, and less military influence in politics. Now, the movement was largely coordinated through social media and became one of the country's most notable youth-led political actions. Let's move to 1965 in South Africa. Owen McCann, the Archbishop of Cape Town, was elevated to a rank of cardinal by the Vatican. Now, he became the first Roman Catholic cardinal from South Africa, making important moment for the Catholic Church in the region. So highlighting African leadership within the global church. And finally, a recent one from 2023, Africa's most populous nation, Nigeria, held a presidential and parliamentary election on this day. Now, the vote drew a massive attention across the continent with higher expectation from the voters, especially young people, about the future direction of the country's democracy. So when we look at 25 February in Africa history, so we see a mix of moments, a colonial decision that shaped the continent, struggle for democracy, voice calling for peace, and some milestones in religion and politics. So good morning. That's on this day in Africa. So, our time is 9 minutes past eight. And what is our thought for the day today? Our thought for the day is fairness does not mean everyone get the same. It means everyone get what they need. All right? Fairness doesn't mean everyone get the same. It means everyone get what they need. Now, this saying explains the difference between equality and equity. Now, it means that treating people fairly does not always mean giving everyone identical things. Instead, fairness considers people's different situations and give them the support or resources they actually need to succeed. Now, let's give an example. So you have, imagine a three student preparing for an exam, okay? One has books, internet, and a quiet place to study. Another has books, but no internet. Now, the third one has neither, okay? He has neither books, internet, or a quiet place to study. Now, if everyone receive exactly the same help, if these three students receive exactly the same help, the situation may still be unfair. True fairness would give more support to those who lack resources, like a third student, so that all three have a real chance to succeed. Now, so in society or schools or workplace or government, fairness often requires recognizing differences and removing barriers rather than treating everyone identically or everyone equally. All right? So that's our thought for the day, that fairness does not mean everyone get the same. It means everyone gets what they need. And hopefully, the decision and choices that you make today would actually be a fair one, all right? That treat people fairly. All right, that's our thought for the day, and that's your challenge for today. Make sure that today you treat people fairly. All right, so welcome. If you're just joining us, it's a Wednesday morning. It's a quite nice and cool. Still, it hasn't rained yesterday, but the weather is quite good. It's still, there's that still, what is that? A fresh breeze, which make it a morning cool. So if you're still sleeping, get up. If you still have to get to work, I don't know what time you start your work. If you're still in bed at 12 minutes past 8, it's time to get up. Even if it's at home, get up and go and do something. All right? So what we can look forward to today on the show, systemic government failure. If systemic government failure are bleeding Namibia of millions in tax dollars from its gold mining industry, and that is actually according to the report, a new report from the Auditor General. So we're going to look at some of the things that are coming from the report, from the Auditor General's report. Very interesting concerning the gold mining industry, concerning actually tax dollar from gold mining industry. So that's our main story that we're going to unpack. And we also going to look at the story that making our front page, talking about the ground has officially been broken for a 10 million initiative to construct basic sport facilities in Eheke and Onamtai. That's not far from where I live, making the start of a multi-year government project design, actually to empower the youth, maybe create jobs, and also stimulate local economic growth in the Oshana, in the mighty Oshana region. So that's our stories that we will be looking to unpack if we still have time. Okay, so make sure that you join me in unpacking that. Of course, your participation will also be part of the show. So let's do that after this.
Omutiha wetekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikao shafasana na nalonge shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene ananga shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika teitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu moambo dengira selma konara hitatu imwe datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back and welcome back and a very good morning to you if you're just joining us. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. So the show where we break it down, so that, you know, you understand what is behind the headlines. And today, two things today before I get into the story. I got a little bit of a flu. I think I'm a bit slow today. If you call and I don't understand your question or I don't understand what you say. I think I'm a bit slow today. Got a bit of a flu. Started last night. I started yesterday actually here. All right. So yeah, bit slow, but still a bit. Don't worry. All right. So today we need to talk about gold, okay? Because the gold mining companies in Namibia are reporting record-breaking productions. Reporting a record-breaking production. So they are making massive moolah. All right, their turnover, it's quite steady for a couple of years. So it's quite steady, holding steady at 6 billion Namibian dollar per year. You know, 6 billion Namibian dollar per year. So there are a lot of job created. Of course, export is booming. And everything looks good for the gold mining companies in Namibia. So, yeah, everything looks good on paper. But there is a shocking part, okay? There is a shocking part. While the mines are producing more gold than ever, corporate tax payment, the corporate tax paid to the government has dropped by nearly half. Okay? I hope you're following the argument. Okay, you will follow the argument. Here, the gold mining companies are reporting record-breaking productions, but at the same time, you know, the corporate tax paid to the government has dropped by nearly half. Well, you heard me, all right? Half. Now, from 807 million, from 807 million in 2022, just 422 million in 2022. Now, so where is the money going? Where is the money going? Now, my question is this. How does the math work, really? So this doesn't make sense for me. Maybe it does make sense for you. So how does the math work? How do you make more money but pay less tax? That's actually the multi-million dollar question we are unpacking today. So that's the multi-million dollar question we are unpacking. How do you make money? You make more money, but you pay less tax. Something, and that's what actually the Auditor General asked the same question. That's the same question actually the Auditor General is asking. So now let me take you a little back a bit, okay? So that let me give you a bit of a background so that we understand what we are unpacking. Now, Namibia has two operational gold mines. Okay, the first is the QKR Navahap gold mine, our oldest open pit mine. That's our oldest open pit mine, sitting outside Karibib. All right, if you have no idea where it is, it's just outside Karibib. And the second is Oshikoto gold mine, operated by the Canadian company B2 Gold, up near Ochivarongo. All right, and these are not small operation. These are really not small operation. These are major industrial mines. So it's not, you know, those small miners, small mines that you hear about. These are really major industrial mines. So now the report that we're looking at is actually between 2020 to 22. That's the report that have just released. Now between 2020 and 2022, these companies combined with the broader gold sector, reported a turnover roughly 20 billion Namibian dollar. 20 billion Namibian dollar. Oula. So, and get this. So in 2023, Nahab mine, okay, the Nahab mine had its best production year in its entire history. 2023, in its entire history, they have their best production year in its entire history. A 37% jump in output. It was actually a 37% jump in an output. So, and Ochikoto, recently as last year, pumped out 199,000 ounces of gold. 199,000 ounces of gold. So these are the record-breaking numbers that we're talking about. The mines are booming. They are booming. Yeah? Now here's the question then. Here's the question I want you to sit with. Okay? Just give you a little bit of a background where they give you a picture and put you in the perspective. So now, this is the question I want you to sit with. If the mines are doing so well, if the mines are doing this well, why is government getting less money from them? Why? Why is the government getting less money from them? Tell us. Tell me. Now, so let's look at the report. And here now where the story now a little becomes uncomfortable. Okay? So this is where now the story turns uncomfortable. So the Auditor General, Junius Kancheke, did his work, released a finding from an audit covering the years of 2020, 2021, and 2022. Then, my friend, what the auditor found is frankly alarming. It's frankly alarming. It's not comfortable. It's not a comfortable founding. Now, gold mining companies, as we said earlier on, the gold mining company total turnover stayed constant. Remember, it stayed constant all this 2020, 2020, 21, 2022, you know, and up to even 2023. So, but we have a report. The report that we're looking at is up to 2022. So, it remained constant. It stayed constant, roughly 6 billion a year throughout that period. Okay? Now, not declining, constant. Export levy went up, royalties went up, both by about 7% each. Okay? The export levies and the royalties went up about 7% each. Well, logic tells us corporate tax should have gone up as well, isn't it? I said logic tells us that corporate tax should also gone up. It should also go up too, isn't it? Well, wrong. You are wrong if you think logically. So you are wrong. You have to think unlogically. If you think logically, you are absolutely wrong. The tax these companies pay on their profit, that actually has dropped by almost half, by almost 48%. By almost 48%. Now, in 2020, Goldmine paid 807 million in a corporate tax. By 2022, that number have collapsed to 422 million. We are talking about a loss of nearly 400 million Namibian dollar in 3 years. And while the companies now, during this period, companies were still making billions. We're talking about the turnover stayed constant. Eh? So by that time, the company was still actually making millions, but you see that we're talking a loss of nearly 400 million Namibian dollars. It just in a period of 3 years. Now, think about that amount of money, what that that 400 billion could do, what could have done. Schools, think about schools, think about hospital, think about road, rural electrification that we are failing to do. Water infrastructure in our northern region and northern eastern regions, you know, could have done better on bursary for Namibian students who couldn't afford university. So that money was supposed to come to the state, and it didn't. It didn't. Now, how does a company earn the same amount of money year after year and somehow end up paying almost half as much tax? How? Where's the math? I mean, those of you who do math. Now, because that is exactly what the Auditor General is asking, and the answer, as I said, they won't be very comforting. They are not going to be comforting at all, and that's why we're looking at these stories. And there's something that we need to learn from what the Auditor General's answers are. Now, let's talk about NAMRA. Okay, that's where it starts. The Namibia Revenue Agency, their job, of course, we know, is simple. In simple term, is to make sure that companies and individuals pay their fair share of taxes. Okay? You pay your fair share of taxes. They are our collector. They are our collective kind of enforcer. You know, these are the ones who are enforcing that kind of responsibility of that law. Now, the Auditor General's report finds something deeply troubling. NAMRA conducted no tax audits on a gold mines during the period under review. During that period, he conducted no tax audit on the gold mines. Zero. None. Okay? Nada. So, we have an industry generating billions in revenue, and the tax authority has not conducted a single audit. Now, do you know what the implication is? Now, in any functioning tax system, regular audit on the large companies are not optional. They are not optional. They are essential. They are how you catch people who are hiding money. That's how you catch people who are hiding money. Under reporting profits, sometimes those big companies actually underreport their profit or moving money around in a clever way to reduce what they need to owe, what they owe actually. So it is, as I said, it's not optional. It is essential. And we aren't doing it. We did nothing. Nada. Zero. You don't just trust a company, you know, to tell you what they earned. You verify. We're going to look at that.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba. But the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. If you're joining us, it's 30 minutes. It's half past 8. And welcome. Thanks for joining us. And if you just join us, we are looking at the auditor's report, looking at the gold industry generating billions in a period under review. Generating billions in revenue, and ironically, the tax authority has not conducted a single audit. So, hasn't conducted any single audit. So you, as I was saying, which is something that's very, very, very important. It's not something now, since it wasn't conducted, it's not something, some kind of option or something, you know, that you do it or you don't. So it's something that is very, very, very essential, because they are how, you know, how you catch people. This is how you catch people who are, they could be hiding money, they could be under-reporting their profit, they could be moving money in a very clever way, you know, that reduces what they owe you. So, and as I said, you don't just trust a company to tell you what they earn. You verify. That's the requirement. Now, the Auditor General specifically pointed out that NAMRA failed to perform transfer pricing audit. There are two things, actually. Transfer pricing audit and thin capitalization audit. All right. Those sound technical. Now, those are technical terms, but let me break them down. Okay? Let me break them down in a simple way. So, as I look them up. Okay? Now, transfer pricing. So, this is what actually NAMRA didn't do during that period of under review. So, it's they didn't perform this audit. Transfer pricing audit and thin capitalization audit. So, now, transfer pricing is a tactic. It's a tactic where a multinational companies, for example, can actually, and remember, both Navahub and Ochikoto, both Navahub and Ochikoto have international owners. Now, we're talking about now multinational companies can, when we're talking about transfer pricing, can manipulate the prices they charge. So the prices they charge each other internally to move profit out of Namibia into a country with lower taxes. Now, okay, think of it like this, okay? A Namibian mine pays its foreign partner, its foreign parent company, an inflated fee, okay, for service or equipment. So Namibian mine, so paid its foreign parent, you know, your subsidiary, you're a subsidiary, So now you pay your foreign parent company in an inflated fee for, let's say, for example, for services or equipment. Now, that reduces its taxable profit here. And the money ends up elsewhere, in wherever the parent company is. Is that legal? Well, sometime, I guess. Is that ethical? Well, that's debatable. But detectable? Only. Now, the question is, if you haven't done audit, you will not be able to detect that. So that's transfer pricing. All right? So it's a kind of a manipulating the prices you charge, manipulate the prices they charge each other internally, yeah, with you and your mother, your parent company, just to move profit out of Namibia. Now you're moving the profit out of Namibia into a country where with a lower taxes. So, and I just given an example of that. Now, the thin capitalization is a related trick. It's a related trick where a company now loads up on loans from related parties instead of equity. So the interest payment reduces the tax bill here in Namibia. So now NAMRA didn't check for any of this. They didn't check any of this for years. So according now to the Auditor General, so they didn't check any of this for years. The question every Namibia should be asking is why? Why? Eh? Why? Is it incompetence? Is it negligence? Or is it something, or maybe is it something else going on? Why? What is going on? And on top of that, On top of that, the auditor found that the data on NAMRA's own custom system did not match the export permit issued by the Ministry of Mines. Two government systems looking at the same gold leaving the same country, recording different numbers. You know? So that's also what the auditors found. Data on NAMRA's own custom system do not match the export permit issued by the Ministry of Mines. So now you have two companies, two government institutions or government system, as I said, looking at the same gold leaving the same country and recording different numbers. Now, think about what this means, okay? If our own system cannot agree on how much gold left the country, our own system cannot agree, how can we possibly verify that we are collecting the right taxes? How do we verify that the taxes that we're collecting is actually right? Now, the audit also found inconsistency in how gold prices per ounce were determined on the export permit. Ounces. I struggle with this word. The audit. So now there was inconsistency. So there was also inconsistency in how the gold prices per ounces were determined on the export permit now from the ministry. This could lead now to misstated transaction values and inaccurate revenue collection. If you follow what the audit say from the Auditor General. Now, this is a basic accounting. It's a basic accounting. I'm not an accountant, but this is a basic. If you cannot measure it accurately, you cannot tax it accurately. It's as simple. If you cannot measure it accurately, you cannot tax it accurately. And right now, our measurement system are fundamentally broken. They are fundamentally broken. And that is not a small administrative error. It's not something like this is a small administrative error. That is governance failure. It's governance failure. Something I think David was also talking about this morning. It's governance failure. But it is not just NAMRA, okay? It's not just NAMRA. The Ministry of Mine itself comes in for serious criticism as well. So now let's talk about the Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy. Now, an Auditor General found that the Directorate of Mines could not produce any evidence of risk identification for gold mines. Now, this is actually something they are required to do under their own 2019 risk framework. It's something that they required to do, and it's their own risk framework. They literally have a manual telling them, what to do. And they are not doing it. Now, the ministry also failed to implement standard operating procedure for verifying monthly gold production. Instead of using proper reconciliation formulas, they simply accepted the summary report from the mining companies without actually checking the underlying evidence. So, no stock recorded reviewed, no production log examined, just taking the companies at their word. You know, the company just tell them this is what happened and they take it at their word. Now, if a mine tell you it produces X amount of gold, and you never independently verify that, You have no idea that is true. You have no idea that is true. And if you don't know how much gold is being produced, you can't know if the royalties or taxes being paid are correct. You are flying blind. We have been, for years, we have been flying blind. You can't know if the royalties and taxes, you know, being paid are correct. So the Auditor General put it, actually, the Auditor General put it bluntly, you know, he put it bluntly. This situation, he said that this situation created a real risk of fraud. This is the Auditor General report. Create a real risk of fraud and corruption around production volumes. And that directly affects how much money the state actually collects. It does. There's a serious, as I said, a serious governance a problem here. Now, friends, this story it does not exist in isolation, okay? You have to look at it in a bigger picture. Let me give you now the bigger picture. So now Namibia is a resource rich country. You know, we have been told, okay? I've said we have been told because some of us haven't seen it with our own eyes. So we have been told for many years that about our minerals, so our diamonds, so even some of us I said that's why I said we have been told, because some of these minerals we never seen it with our own eyes or touch it or smell it. Okay? Our diamonds, unless you were sold a fake diamond, that's all what you have seen. So our diamonds, our uranium, our gold. So we were told that our national inheritance, those are our national inheritance. Now, they belong to all of us. That's why mining company pay royalties and taxes. Because the resources in our ground, the resources in the ground belong to the Namibian people, not just the shareholders in Toronto or Johannesburg. Okay? Let's quickly just see what is this one I want to react on. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm fine.
Mm.
Am I live on air?
You are live.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I have a complaint.
A complaint?
Is it the right time?
What do you want to complain about?
I want to complain on a certain security company.
No. I, it's not a general open for anyone who calls and comes with a different subject. We are discussing a certain subject, and unless whoever come through actually is have to comment on what we're discussing at the moment.
Okay. All what right. time am I supposed to?
Do you know where you called?
Yes, it's Eagle FM.
Yeah. What is that you want to complain quickly? I just want to find out so that I can guide you well. What is the complaint all about?
There is this certain company. It is in Oshakati, but that company does not want to adhere on the minimum wage. And people are going to labor and everything, but there's nothing to be done. We want to know we just want to talk to the minister. We want the answer from the minister. Why these people are being given tenders, but they don't want to adhere. They don't want to pay workers. Until when it has to be like this? People are not paying workers.
All right.
But still they are just being given tenders. Why? Why is it like that?
All right. Do you have now, well, it's up to you whether you want to name the company or not, but also depending whether you have the right verifiable information of what you're saying.
Yeah, I have, because I was like, I worked for that company for 3 months. It's a new company, but up to those 3 months, they never give us our number. Like this last month, they are told that they were telling us that the government is not paid. But when we go and ask the regional council or Shana regional council, they are telling us there's nothing for the company here. Everything, even the back pay that was not paid the last 2 months, we paid everything.
Mm.
Yeah. That is no Kagaro. I don't know who can you speak Oshwambo?
Yeah, but your point, it's clear. I mean, you made your point clear already. So yeah.
We want to we want to talk to the minister on air. We maybe can give us an answer or something, because this company, these people, they are even they don't have any respect. They don't do anything just to make sure the employees are happy. Nothing, but maybe just as long as the government is paying them.
All right. Your point is actually clear. All right.
All right.
Okay. Good.
Good.
All right. Just let that one go through. All right. Even if it's on different topic. Yeah. So. Yeah, we will then open our line a little bit later on. Yeah. So what we were talking about? Yeah. No, I was saying the things that we're talking about, it's not in a vacuum. All right. So this is not in a vacuum. We're looking at this from the bigger picture. So Namibia, as I said earlier on, is a resource rich country. You know, and we have been told that for many years that our minerals, you know, our diamonds, our uranium, our whatever, our gold, are our national, those are our national inheritance. They belong to all of us, and that's why the mining companies, this is where I wanted to bring it, the mining companies pay royalties and taxes. So because the resource in the ground belong to the Namibian people. Not just to those, not just the shareholders, those are sitting in Toronto or somewhere in Johannesburg. So, now, but what this audit tells us is that the mechanism for collecting that inheritance is broken. I think that's the way you look at it. The mechanism of collecting that inheritance, it's broken. The pipes are leaking. And nobody, not NAMRA, not the ministry, according to what we have looked at, what the auditor says, what the auditor general says, was actually fixing them. Or apparently even noticing. Yeah? So we are in a time, okay? And I think this is very serious. We are in a time when Namibia faces very real physical pressures. Money problems. Government has had to make tough choices about spending, you know? So public servants have waited for salary adjustments. School have gone without textbooks. Health facilities have, you know, faced budget cuts. So we are really facing, you know, tough choices when it comes to spending. Meanwhile, a sector reporting a 20 billion in turnover was paying nearly half the corporate tax it should have been paying. Half of what it should be paying. And nobody was auditing it. Now, I want to be fair. Okay, the audit covers 2020 to 2022, and we don't know for certain that money was stolen or deliberately hidden. What we know from the report, what we know is that the control were not in place to tell the difference. There aren't control measures in place to actually tell the difference, whether the money was stolen or deliberately hidden. And that is the problem. That is the problem. In the absence of oversight, you cannot rule out anything out. You cannot rule anything out at all. So, what does this tell us? What does this tell us? What does it tell us about the revenue collection in that sector? If this is happening in the gold mining, one of our most visible industries, what about the diamond mining? What about the fishing? What about the oil discovery that we are, you know, we are all pinning our hopes on? No, seriously, this is a very, very, very serious, serious issue. Okay? Let's talk about it. 0833-66091. Let's talk about it. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Big Mike.
Good morning, man.
How are you, my brother?
I'm all right, and yourself?
It's very painful, my friend.
Yeah.
I heard of the news.
We are.
Very, very painful.
We have serious issues here, man.
I'm telling you, serious, big one.
Yeah.
Corruption. And this is corruption. When you tell me that somebody forget about it, that there's a gold mining company which need to be audited. All of it to be followed. No way. There's no way. Then I'm even requesting that when we are talking about even now, somebody's already like putting up a penalty against this mining. And also,
and the funny thing is this: the funny thing
Namula,
is that the funny
Namula
thing is,
CEO, you must be also having some question to us to address the parliament. I mean, the parliamentarian.
Yeah.
About it. Yeah, because this thing of just something like anything happen. No way. There's no way, my friend.
Yeah.
No, you wake up every day in the morning going to your office to do what then? If you can let these things to flex, just like that. What about individually? No, man, they are here threatening people, even like a small business are crossing down because of Namula.
Yeah.
Then they are here forgetting about the gold mine.
Yeah, and even during that period, imagine, during that period, the corporate tax actually went down. You understand? So in 2020, what was paid was 807 million in corporate. That was how much that was paid in. And then in 2022, that number have just collapsed, you know, to 422 millions when there was no audit.
No, man, something fishing here.
So. And we talk about losing nearly 400 you know, million Namibian dollars in 3 years. Just imagine what you can do with that money.
With that money, yeah. And we are here, we don't have even a medicine in the hospital.
Yeah.
We are even having kids walking all long distance because of they cannot have a hospital. Come on, man. We are here, kids are killing the chair to school in Kamango.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that this report, Kancheke did his actually job, and I can tell you, it comes out now. You read it, but 2-3 years, I mean 1-3 or 4-5 months, you hear nothing. You absolutely hear nothing. Nothing being done.
You know what the problem we have in Namibia is that things are coming out like this. Then everybody's quiet.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying anything.
Yeah.
They are all quiet.
Mm.
But individually, if it was happening for individually, everybody's condemning that, including even our president.
We are shooting ourselves in the foot. Here we are fighting for unemployment, and right here we are throwing the money just into the bin.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And And the thing, when they are saying that they are moving to the prison, I thought maybe now they will look at the way even there. You remember the other time, they let Eagle FM always die doing justice. Yeah. What they did, they called the former minister.
Mm.
And the former minister he even said, no, we have a commission who will go to this mine after 3 months for 2 months.
Yeah.
Just immediately, we don't have anybody insider. We don't have any insider who's reporting to the government what this is, what we discover, how many diamonds is worth, how many diamonds they dig out,
yeah.
What is the value of this diamond, where they are going to be sold, how much is we are expecting to get. Nothing, my friend. It's after 3 months is where they are going to check in their book. Mm. And those books can be tempered already with.
Yeah.
Yeah. The moment they just meet in, it's what I'm saying. Really, our government is like, what?
This is a serious thing, and I think the parliament are possibly, they need to look at this. They need to pick up this.
And, yeah, I'm sure the job and the others.
Yeah,
they will question this. What is happening here?
Yeah, they need to pick up this and really, really, you know, get to this, because this can't happen. This honestly can't happen, and I don't think why there aren't even much noise about it. You know.
Exactly. Everybody's quiet now. This is what I'm saying. They are all quiet. But this is the one which are really putting us, our country down.
Yeah.
Look at that man we are losing, just imagine. How much is that supposed to contribute to even our GDP?
Yeah.
We are here crying that, you know, you find employment, you are here talking about clean water, you are talking about sanitation. So many problems, my friend. Electricity. No, it can do something.
Yeah.
That money can do something. But now, we are letting this company to just to get away with it.
Mm.
That's
and,
why
and this is the period. And this
Namibia
is the period. This is the period where the mine, the gold mine, actually was doing so well historically, the highest production that they have made. And this is what. And this is the period where the government is still getting less money from them. Can you imagine?
You remember the other thing also when Bidu God, they said they are crossing their door in what? 20. It's supposed to be 20, what? I think it's supposed to be 2024.
Yeah.
And now?
Probably 2023 around there.
Yeah, 24. And they remember one thing that, you know, as a gold mine, there are a lot of crop, stone, which are value also heavy to be. Like when you're even doing a cleanup. Because now you are, remember, you are packing up your things and what? There are a lot of material is also to be sold.
Mm.
But we are just concentrating on that, and only the gold. But we don't look what else is there.
Yeah.
And it's what is happening even this year. Those guys who are working the fish ship, they will tell you that, the fishermen, they will tell you that, no, we already know they are keeping fish in the net. They have a lot of values. Sometimes you find even this old, you know, you remember that the old people who used to travel around the world, and they are killing those gold, wagon and what. And sometimes you find it even like a suitcase.
Yeah.
Big one.
Mm.
But it never comes to show. Nobody was going to record that, because even the, what you call these people are around to take in the boat. Sometimes they become a bias.
Yeah.
They get sold. And that is what is happening in even the sea. And I'm telling you, if you are failing to detect the gold mine, there are a lot of loophole people are getting with.
Yeah.
That's
the two things mm-hmm. that actually detect corruptions and detect tax avoidance. That's a transfer pricing. They have transfer pricing audit that they failed to do. This is how the multinational companies actually manipulate prices. You know?
Yeah, they're getting all this.
Yeah.
Don't remember the other time, there was something also from Namibia, I think, where I don't know, I can't remember what it is, but it's something like they take it to Mauritius.
Mm.
After Mauritius, they bring to Namibia. Then from Namibia, something like that.
Yeah.
Just to play around. Then I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying, no, guys, it's a hard time when we are looking at this thing. We need people who can do the job.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me who.
Exactly. There was someone I interviewed. This was last year. We said, well, this big company, this multinational corporations, they have people who know how to manipulate this, and our people are not competent enough to pick up those kind of stuff.
Mike, I disagree with that a bit, because people are competent only that now, they become a soldier. They don't have that patriotism for the country.
They
become biased, my
fraud,
friend.
Fraud and corruption. Exactly.
It's a fraud. That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
And I think it's the corruption also, they need to dig down.
Yeah.
Why this happened?
The ACC should be looking at this. Yeah,
exactly.
They should be looking at this.
They're not just waiting for somebody to come and report to them what always they are claiming, what the director always saying. We need you. If you have a proof, you come and report to us. These are things which you need to investigate.
If it's just negligence, head need to roll, really. Is it negligence?
Somebody need to go.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, my friend. Okay, let us give another people a chance.
All right, man, thanks for coming through. Yeah.
Sure.
No, seriously, is this negligence? Is it incompetence? Is it, or is it something else? Head need to roll. All right. So, yeah, and this is not just NAMDA, it's also the ministry, you know, as we heard from the Auditor General. So, if I put you in the, just put you in the perspective of what we have been talking, is that, let me just summarize the key point from discussion, is that the gold mining companies, the gold mining company paid 48% less corporate tax between 2020 and 2022, despite stable revenues and record production. So let's get to another caller. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
There is nothing wrong there.
Yeah.
No, those companies, the investment, the money that they put in for operation, it comes from their big.
Just speak up a little bit, eh? Just have you.
I think it's my phone. That is
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's just that it's a bit lower, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The issue here is because of the production.
Yeah.
But those companies that are buying gold, the low gold, they come to buy it from Namibia.
Mm.
On cheap price from the gold mine.
From the company that are mining.
Yeah, that are mining.
Yeah.
And then they import now. I mean they export. The export invoice that is got by NAMRA, it tells that, okay, they're shipping about 20 tons or 30 tons. And then when you go to the mine, the production is the same, that we produce this and we sell it this and we keep it this. So for that now, the volume that is the market price, the old price now is about 4,600, right?
Mm.
But for them, they didn't buy a finishing product. So when you come now to that, to look at in that number of 4,500, comparing to the 20 tons, you find billions of dollars. Understand?
Yeah.
So when they go to the big market, the gold market, these companies, these parent companies that they're buying from Namibia, they're making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Pay back that. So it's very tough for you. That is even this order with me.
Yeah. Because you cannot be able to investigate the parent company.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is now that is the same, because this is a lesson. It's a good lesson to understanding if you are really an import and export person. Because if you are buying products in China in a cheap price, let me say in a sale price, and then you come to submitting that invoice to Namra. Namra starting says, no, this product in South Africa are buying by $6.
Mm.
But the invoice that you are giving, they ignore. That is what now Tatekanjeke and the marshal, they end up now saying, no, we are losing millions of dollars.
Because yeah.
Remember 2020 to 2023, the price of gold starting to rise up to weight now.
Yeah.
Because we are expecting the gold price to go up again. And those are now the gold hunters now. They are coming to buy low material, not the finishing product.
Yeah.
Understand?
Mm.
That is where the problem. That's why I'm saying there is nothing wrong here. No matter you go to the mine, you find the invoice that they are saying, okay, this is what we are producing from the mine, and yeah. we are selling to this one. This is the man that we have got.
But I understand what you're saying, but the but I mean logically, when you think in terms of like, okay. You were producing this much, and then the turnover remained the same or actually increased. You know, why are you paying less now?
Yeah, yes, that is what they say. This the first time.
Yeah.
Those times we used to sell it outside. We are the one who are exporting it. You understand? Mm. They're exporting and they go to sell it. Because when you are exporting, you don't have...
But it's still these multinational companies. We're still talking about these multinational companies.
Yes.
Yeah.
We understand. At night, when you are exporting something to the market, you don't have an invoice for payment. You understand?
Yeah.
You wait this product to be sold so that you can have an invoice.
Mm.
When now the government asks you the invoice for those products that you are exporting, you show that. You understand?
Yeah.
That's why the government was making money, because their gold mining company, they are the one that is exporting those things. But now here, somebody come in with a different name, buying in a lower price, and exporting it with that invoice. You understand?
Yeah. Could have been that a tactic, a manipulative tactic.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It can be because if you could have a Namibian company who are operating in this country and say, and you are processing those products, that is what I was even advising people to say. If you want to setting up a processing a manufacturer here or a company, you need to know where you are buying your product. You understand?
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
If you could have such as a person in this country who is buying gold, a lower gold from those two mining, we can comparing the invoices, the foreign invoice and the domestic invoice.
Mm.
So those are now the things that we don't have. We are having all those companies that they are coming to buy.
Yeah.
In terms of what? Of manipulating the system.
Yeah. And understand that, but why have we failed also now to do the auditing?
No, to do the auditing, we are not failing to do the auditing here.
Yeah.
Because Namra got the export invoice. Tatekanjeke got the operation invoice.
Mm-hmm.
Company.
Yeah.
Understand?
Mm.
And they, Tatekanjeke now sitting and comparing the invoices, the previous invoicing for those 2-3 years, got the way, voting by the owner of the product, but here now, is the it's exported by somebody else. So now the question is, why you put the price down? What has happened?
Yeah.
That is what Tatekanjeke is asking. Because Namra told him that, no, this is the company that they are taking the gold out.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we are now judging to the international price.
Yeah.
But on the lower product, which is not yet finished product.
Mm.
That's where the problem is.
What would be the right measure, you know, in terms of this?
The right measure is if we could have money ourselves,
yeah,
government, if it could have, or even business people would have that, they are buying on that mining company and sell themselves. That's what even on uranium we are failing, because Namibian government doesn't even need reserve for uranium.
Yeah.
Those are the companies that are selling their products out of their shares. Understand?
Hmm.
So this is now what, there is nothing right, because if you go to Namura and want to see the difference, go to Namura, buy something in Zambia, come into Namibia, they will ignore your invoice. They were using their own tactics to putting the right price on that thing.
Yeah.
But they will buy it for cheaper. That is what I'm saying now here. The invoice of Namura is the one that is confusing that they can get.
Yeah.
And the price of the international price, the gold is rising. It's on the high price. That's what I'm saying now. It's 4,600. And they are saying by 2020, nine, it might end up going to 10,000 US dollar. So those are the things that if we are not empower our business people, do good, proper conference that telling we are losing because of low materials that we are exporting.
Yeah.
Let us involve in operation, to buying, because these guys, they are coming to us in a ship cross. They are saying, I'm a startup. Eh? They show you the levels, but they have a parent company. Okay, Mike, let me not finish up the time, but there is nothing wrong here.
Yeah.
There is only manipulation that is happening. Manipulating the system with what they want. So you manipulate with the invoice. Because the price of the lower product is depends, even the crude oil.
Mm.
It depends because if Saudi Arabia is producing the crude oil, but with $10, eh? But others are making what? 30 to 40 to 50 US dollars per production. But now, you cannot go to Saudi Arabia and say, no, Saudi Arabia producing the thing for, because you are manipulating the price.
Yeah,
but
the governance aspect is also very, very crucial, because the report also indicating that the ministry also failed to implement the standard operating procedure for verifying the monthly gold productions. So now, instead of using now proper reconciliation formulas, they simply accepted the summary report from the mining companies without checking the underlying evidence. Yeah.
Idea of saying no, you cannot come and tell us that you selling this gold for $800 while the owns, okay, per kg, it's the owner,
yeah,
selling for $800 because it's the lower,
yeah,
and then the final product is 4,000. No, let us leave it for now. If there is no somebody who are selling it for 2,000 or 3,000. Because for that way, yes, you can make money. But for them to say, no, we are not the one who are refining this thing. Yeah. So this is the price that we are putting on because of the competition with the other companies. You understand?
Yeah.
Maybe we're chasing our customer away. No, say, okay, let them go. Yeah. Because you might end up finishing your resources because of that. Because of manipulation that you are going in the name of the investors.
Yeah.
So that is what I like the input of the report, because it's telling something different. Yes. Kanjeke is looking on the international price.
Yeah.
But what is now this? Because of the demand, the price is going down for the production.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
You're welcome.
Yeah. A very good morning to you. Our time is about 16:15. past the hour of 9. We're live and we go until 10 o'clock. You still have a plenty of time to get involved in our first discussion. We're talking about gold. The gold mining companies paid 48% less corporate tax between 2020 and 2022, despite stable revenues and record production. So nearly 400 million Namibian dollar in potential revenue lost. So that's coming from the report, from the audit general's report. And the NAMRA, according to the report as well, NAMRA conducted zero comprehensive tax audit on gold mines during this period. And as you hear some of the comment from the caller, we're saying, well, there's nothing really, really wrong. There are a couple other things the report have highlighted, but no transfer pricing audit that was done, capitalization audit, and no verification of whether companies were reporting accurately. So those are questions. Is it this negligence? Is it incompetence? Or what is going on? All right. So, and the government system are not integrated. The government system, as we see, they are not integrated. Export permit data does not match custom data. Okay. So the export data, the export permit data does not match the custom data. So gold prices on export permit were inconsistently determined, and this created a massive opportunity for revenue leakage, revenue manipulations. The Ministry of Mine, what else we talked about, the Ministry of Mine failed to implement its own risk framework. So, and verification procedures, it failed to do that. So they accepted company report without checking underlying evidence. So that's another issue that comes out. And actually this whole thing represent, a systemic failure of oversight that could be replicated across, across, like as the caller also said, replicated across the other sectors, and unless fundamental changes are really made. Okay? So, these are the stories that matters, please, people. These are the stories that matters. These are the questions that need answers. And, because at the end of the day, Namibia's mineral wealth belong to all Namibians, not to foreign shareholders. Not to mining executives. So to every child in a village school, to every child, to every patient in a rural clinic, every young person looking for work, it belongs to, to all Namibians. So that's why we do what we do. We ask the questions that we ask, and we want to hear your opinion and your contribution, your perspective on these matters. 08333 66091, 08333 66091. Do come through and have your say.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, this is your number one, your favorite actually, your number one talk radio station. Good morning. You're most welcome. You are tuning into Unpacking the Day. Let's get to the caller. A very good morning to you.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm fine.
Good to have you.
I have a different take on listening to what you guys are talking about with regards to the gold mines and the reporting and so on.
Yeah.
You know, I'm of the opinion that gold, the taxation format that we have right now is absolutely wrong.
It's absolutely
change
wrong.
Change that. Yeah, it should be wrong. Yeah. It's wrong because what should be really happening is that government should only be getting money that it needs for salaries and those that are employed. That's it in government, and that's it.
Mm.
The mining companies and the fishing companies and all of these people should actually be paying and by means of actual implementation or input. I'll tell you what that means.
Yeah.
If you want to build a road between, say, Katima to Walvis Bay, and you want to keep that, you want to maintain that road, then all those mining companies that need that road from section, say now you only need it from Swakopmund all the way to south to Walvis Bay, that guy should pay a certain amount towards the maintenance of that road, right? Because it's his truck, it's his product that's moving between those. And then he should engage directly with the Roads Authority, or is it RCC, right? For each section, all of the sections. And then there should be an overall cost where they directly contribute, right? And implementation is done directly. It doesn't go through any government tender. It doesn't go through any other tender besides going directly to the RCC or whoever it is that's employed to fix that road.
But say for example the fixing the road would be less than what your tax should be, you know,
that's 100%. That's 100%. If fixing the road is less than what your tax should be, you should score an incentive, right? Number one, because you are able to fix that road, keep and maintain that road for less than what the government probably would have done it.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, from that incentive that you got, so you should pay less for that. From that incentive, then you are then asked also to contribute, to add a contribution to your social responsibility kitty or, you know, box.
But in the way, I think it does make sense in the way, but it's also like, they only building the infrastructure that help them to get out, to get our resources out.
No, they spend most of their money in the infrastructure to get the resources out.
Yeah.
Yes, most of the money. But not only that, because there are also by roads and smaller roads that they will have to contribute to. But that is something that is more focused. Because we want to make sure that the main veins of transportation are kept open, are kept safe, and are kept up to standard, those main veins. The smaller ones, we can take a little bit more time to build them. We can build them over time, right? But the point being that when it comes to governments, and not only the African governments or the Namibian government, we have seen that
it is affected by politics.
Yeah.
For instance, the reason, if you go look at Walvis Bay right now, the reason why Walvis Bay looks like it is with the potholes and all of that, still right now it's having lots of potholes,
yeah,
is because of politics, nothing else. All of these years, the roads were not that bad. They have been up to a certain standard. But right now, they are terrible. They are insane. They're destroying our cars. Why? Because of politics. So we have to have this culture of decentralizing
services. What you're trying to do is to cut politicians out.
I want to decentralize services. I want to make sure the services are in the hands of those that use it, right?
Yeah.
And the tax that I don't want anything to be in the hands of government except for the laws that are being made and those structures to maintain or develop those laws.
How do people, let's say for example, how do people in Maltahe or in Aranos, how would they benefit from the resources like gold and fishing? How would they benefit?
They'd benefit through, I think it would be more effective even, because they would benefit through the infrastructure that is built around them, that is built for them. So for instance, I'll give you an example. If you have a mine that is supposed to pay, say, 4 billion Namibian dollars to government coffers, right? Instead of that 4 billion being spread out evenly, it is strategically used in terms of the transport and then obviously the social responsibility. So developing Malta here, for instance, is part of the RCC's implementation, and they get a contribution from all the mines and all the fishing companies and all the companies. They get a contribution, especially for bigger companies, companies that have a specific yearly net profit per year. Say, for instance, you produce 2 billion a year. Then you qualify to be in that board. But not only is your money taken, you also have a say as to how the RCC is going to use, what roads are going to be paved. Now, your roads may not need 200 million every year. It may only need to be resurfaced every 3-5 years or whatever it may be. But the amount that you are contributing is also to the other roads that are out there. And in that way, we decentralize these type of things from central government. Central government should be in a bubble whereby they only deal with paperwork. They should not deal with anything that is practical. They should not be dealing with anything that has to be built. So when you come to the mine and you say, hey, listen, you produce so much gold, right? And this gold has to be, the value of the gold that you sold, a certain percentage of that has to be paid in cash in Namibian dollars to the Namibian government. What you are doing is you are actually devaluing your contribution. Why? Because the money, the Namibian dollar, it fluctuates in value, number one, against other currencies. Number two, the infrastructure infrastructure development or placement is not as efficient as we think. We know in theory, yeah, government takes everything and then they do everything. In theory. But what if they're inefficient? What if the gentleman who's employed in whatever clerical office has got some sort of issue with discipline or whatever it is?
There is a commercial coming up quickly. Can you hold on until you close off later?
Okay.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetwa weather ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no mafa ko murungu wa indu weri rongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba una ovyu ne dia peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe to pika ovinki no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yokianja oshimariva o presente dano komiede vitatu moshimariva o presente umurongo komiede hambu umwe moshimariva o presente mirongo ivari na dano Miedia Murongo na Vivari Moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu chimayu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uha kainina itako na wina rishangita jinon.
Alright. I think I understand the point that you're trying to make because as you say if the money goes to the government, it may end up, because now the government have the responsibility of how to use that money, and it might end up more in a operational budget, for example, and ignore the development budget that responsible for developing even the area where the mining are, you know, and the money, more money end up in a wage bill of the government rather than in development. Yeah, but
exactly.
But it is the government that have that responsibility. And I understand if there is a mechanism now of decentralizing that, I think maybe that's something that we need to look at. Yeah,
but it's not just about decentralizing. The company that is paying for the road, the mining company that you are saying is assisting. It has in its employment Namibians who are of sufficient skill and who are able to tell you what the needs of the mine are to do what, to streamline its operations so that it can make more profit, so that they can be more available for government to tax from them, right? So that those people should also have a say when it comes to for instance, the road. I'll give you an example. The road between, say, Walvis Bay and other side of Karibu.
Yeah.
That road there, it's a road that a lot oftentimes gets oversized equipment. So meaning they'll want to take a truck, abnormal vehicles, right? Abnormal sized vehicles, and they would want that truck to be delivered to Navakhab or to Rossing or to Sokobmund, Sokob Uranium, right? And this is where you have the highest concentration of mines in a very short period of time. Space. You've got Osino that's coming up, you've got whatever. But those roads are the smallest roads. In fact, they gave preference to the road between Karibab and Okahanja, rather than the road between Karibab and Walvis Bay. Now, which one of these two should have gotten that, should have been updated and expanded first? I would argue that the one where the most trade passes through, where most of the trucks that are coming from Zambia, most of the equipment that is going to the mines and coming from the mines, that should be priority, right? But RCC doesn't see it that way. They decided, no, a long time ago, 10 years ago, they decided, no, we are going to look at the section of road between Karibab and Okahanja, where not as much heavy traffic would go through. But this is what we need to make sure that our economy grows, that our economy is effective. The road is doing a function. It's got a function. And because you don't have those stakeholders on the board or in the meeting that decides what do we do with the money that's allocated for the construction of roads, because you don't have that, you have a blind spot. Why? The people that are sitting there don't know. They're not concerned. They think everything is the same. They think everything is equal. It's not. Everything has a weight. Every road has a weight of responsibility. So in other words, you can look at it directly as how much weight actually in terms of mass actually passes on that road. Does the RCC have that data? If they did, why did they make that decision then?
Yeah, I get your point. But my question then is how do you share this corporate tax benefit nationally?
By taking away NAMRA. Take away NAMRA. Stop letting NAMRA NAMRA is just a collector. By taking away NAMRA and putting up these sections or these instruments that say, "Hey RCC, you are going to be the head of this organization, and this organization has got Rossing on its board, it's got Sokob Uranium, they mean they are representatives." The money that they contribute is going to be discussed. All of them, it's not just those people, but all of those that are, especially the bigger players, they are, because you cannot have everybody coming to comment, but the bigger players are going to be there. And what are they going to do? They're going to talk about their interests. But their interests are also your interests. Why? Because they pay you. So that is, we cannot just look at our resources and say, hey, yeah, they're taking our resources, they're taking our gold.
The gold means nothing if it's just lying in the ground.
Yeah.
It has no value. So we need to be able to do, we need to be able to trade, and we need to be able to allow for commerce to take part, to partake, so that we can do what? So that we can have exchange of goods. So that a road that is in built is more important than a resource lying in the ground, untapped and unused. It doesn't matter if you say, say for instance, you lose 50 million worth of gold resources, right? Because of an accounting story. Well, just fix the accounting issue. That's not a problem. But if you don't have the infrastructure to make sure that the gold comes out of the ground and it gets to the boat and you get you what you need, then you've got a bigger problem. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that we need to start rethinking what taxation is, how we use it, how we collect it, and how it's supposed to be implemented. I do not think that government is the right, especially those that are lawmakers only. So the ministry is there. Go ask yourself, how many people that are in the ministry have actually worked in actual mines?
But the challenge that you create is how would you have the government actually planning, you know, without the money? Think of now fishing, think of gold sector, think of other sectors as well. If they're operating the same way, how would you have the government actually planning at all?
No, they shouldn't be planning. That's one of the big problems.
Yeah.
I don't think that government should be planning, because whenever they are planning from a perspective of just the planner instead of the one that has to make use of the plan or have the plan implemented against him.
Mm.
So the person or the people that are going to be affected by the plan should have a say. Not just in terms of a few meetings across the country. No, actually sit at the board, at the table, and give an account.
Mm.
You know, that's, I think, it's going to be, because that's practical.
Yeah.
In terms of practically being able to implement that, that's what is needed. And not lawmakers just making laws.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, they don't really know what they're doing. Most of the time. Mm. Sometimes, you know, they'll surprise you, and they'll say something that actually makes sense, and that is good. But remember that these people are not technical in nature.
Mm.
They are people that are just there, and they'll debate something in parliament and say, hey, I think it's a good idea that we all get digital IDs.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
But practically speaking, what are you really saying, and why are you saying it? Mm. They don't know.
Yeah.
That is the challenge, not just with our government. Governments the world over.
Yeah.
They are all like that. You know what I mean?
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for your contribution, man.
Okay, bye.
Mm. Yeah, what are you saying? What are you saying? 0833-66091. So we're talking about corporate tax contribution, especially from the mining companies. And the failing of auditing of these institutions, and how then we know that we're collecting the right, revenue without some of this governance and procedures that we should be following. Yes, 0833-66091 is a number that you should be dialing right now if you want to be, if you want to take part, to participate in this discussion. So come back after this commercial. Stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Of course, that's one aspect we haven't left you behind at all. Even when you are not listening live, you can always go back and listen to your favorite programs
All you need to do is just download your Eagle mobile app, and then you'll be able to do that. So, and on the app itself, there are lots and lots of, especially those people who love, you know, finding out what is going on in terms of reports from different institutions to give you a better understanding of what of where we are economically. Excuse me, of where we are economically. Check out number of reports from different institutions. So go there. Make sure, first of all, make sure that you download it, and then make use of that as well. So we can't stand still. We need to move on. Let's get to what our time now. It's about, we still have 19 minutes. We can still go to the topic that make actually the front page of the Villager, you know. And yeah, so today we're coming this side of the country. We coming north, we coming to Oshana region, and we are talking about sport, we're talking about soil, we're talking about 10 million questions, you know, 10 million questions. Now I want you to hold on, because this story is about it's about a lot more than we're talking about the groundbreaking ceremony, which is about the youth. It's about jobs. It's about whether government money is actually being spent wisely. That's actually to be fair. That's what. What is that? That's what Anonymous was talking about. It's about company you know. We're talking about the RCC. You know it more for fixing potholes, not for being asked to build sport grounds. So we still have a few minutes to go. Grab your tea if you still want to relax a bit. You know, pull a chair. And stay behind the steering wheel if you're driving. And let's unpack this together. Let's do that together. So, okay. Now, just imagine you are a young man in Umaheke, okay? Not in Umaheke, in a Heke. This is the village where the groundbreaking took place. Now, small settlement about 15 kilometers southwest of Ondangwa. And, you know, imagine as it's you, a young man in Heke. You know, this young man, he wakes up every morning with football in his mind and blood. You know, he's fast, he's gifted, he's hungry, you know, hungry for football. But where does he train? Where does he develop? There's no proper facilities, no pitch, no structure. He's talented. His talent lives inside him, but you know, there are no facilities. There's nothing. But yeah, it has nowhere to go. It has nowhere to go. And the story is, and this is not unique. Okay, this story is not unique. It is the story of thousands of young Namibians across the whole country, across this country. So now here is now the brutal truth, all right? According to the parliament, even parliament's own report on the youth unemployment crisis, Namibia's youth unemployment rate sit at 44.4%. Nearly half of our young people are without work. And the Namibian Statistics Agency has projected that this figure could climb to 45% in 2025. So, you see, it's not getting better. It's not getting better. So that same parliament report specifically called out the lack of sport facilities in the regions as the contributing factor to youth disengagement. Now, so when the government say it wants to build sport facilities for young people, well, we should be listening, actually. We should be listening because we must also, it's not just listening, also we better also ask questions
That is our job here. So there are a couple of things, there are a couple of issues that I want, you know, discuss about. But let's first of all, what happened? Okay. This is a story. It's our front page. It's our front page story. Front page for today's edition of the Villager. So by Louis Shimi. So here's what happened. Okay. This past week, official gathered in the Oshana region for a groundbreaking ceremony. Now, this was not just for one sport facility, as if you read the story. The Oshana Regional Governor called it a unified launch for all 11 constituencies in the region. Okay? So that was like a launch for the all 11 constituencies in the region, not just for Eheke constituency. Now, the road contractor company, yes. Yeah, the road contractor companies, you heard me, has been tasked with the building basic, you know, it has been tasked actually to build these basic sport facilities. Now, two facilities are starting now, one in Eheke settlement and one in Onamtai constituency. That is not from far from Ongwediva, so... And each facility carries a budget of 5 million. Yeah? Each facility carries a budget of 5 million. Total investment for this financial year is then 10 million. Now, the plan is bigger than just this year. So this is a multi-year rollout stretching from now, 2025-2026 financial year, all the way to 2029-2030. So that's the multi-year rollout plan for the Oshana region. Now, and if you zoom out nationally, the government has its sight on building basic sport facility across all 121 constituencies in Namibia. So that is the ambition. And that is the vision. And on paper, as always, it sounds extraordinary. So it sounds interesting. Now, we still have a time. We still have about 12 minutes. Let's unpack this. And there are a couple of critical issues I want us actually to look at. So here we don't just report, you know, that's not what we do. We don't just report the story. We're looking at what are the issues in that story. Now, one is, who is building these facilities? Now, issue number one, okay, who is building these facilities? Now, the one now we're reading from this. This is the question I want you to sit with, okay? Now, the road contractor company, a company whose core business is roads, infrastructure for vehicles, not sport grounds, not athletic tracks, not goalpost foundations. It's the one actually doing the work. Now, some of you might say, well, construction is just construction. And there is some truth in that. I can agree with that. Construction is just construction. I think there's an element of truth there. But here is the thing that should make your eyebrows really goes up. Why? Because the RCC is a company the government itself has described. The government has described as financially struggling. Yeah, just this week. Was it this week? Today is what? Wednesday. If you know, this week, last week. Yeah, just last week. Same week. Yeah, as this groundbreaking. Report confirmed that the government is crafting a recapitalization strategy to revive the RCC over the next 5 years. Now, the company need rescuing financially. Now, put the dot together, man. Yeah?
put the dot together. And yet, it has been awarded a sport construction contract. Yeah? Has there been any competition, any tender bidding competition? As I said, put the dots together, and 1 + 1 is always 2. Yeah? So here is my question for you now. I want to really, really, you know, Namibian, we must learn, you know, really to go deeper about things. So here's my question now for you. Is giving a struggling parastatal construction contract the best use of 10 million of public money? Or is this a way of feeding work to the RCC to help keep it alive? Both things can be true. Both things can be true. But we deserve, what we deserve then is transparency. It's transparency about which one is it? Eh? Which one is it? Is it giving a struggling parastatal construction contract? Is that the best use of 10 million of public money? Or is this a way now? Are we just feeding work to the RCC to help, you know, to help keep it alive? That's my first issue that I have. What is yours? Now, issue number two. In the article uses the word basic. What exactly is a basic sport facility worth 5 million? Okay, that's the first thing. That's an issue for me. The article does not tell us what this facility will contain. And that word basic is doing a lot of work in this story. Now, basic could mean grass pitched one, the one that have a grass, or it could be a perimeter fence, it could be a changing room, it could have a changing room, it could have some lights, you know, at night, you know, when people can even play the drink. You know, what does the basic mean? Or basic could mean very little at all. It could mean very little at all. In a country where some urban facilities cost hundreds of millions, 5 million for a full sport complex sounds very, very thin. Now, when you compare, here's a comparison that should sharpen your thinking. Now, government recently announced 127 million to refurbish, to refurbish key sport infrastructure in Windhoek and Swakopmund. 127 million for upgrade in our urban areas. So are we rolling out 5 million new built in our rural Shana? 5 million, that's a new built in our rural Oshana. So is that equitable? Remember we talk about equal and equality, equality and equity. Is that equitable? Is that equitable development? Or is it a different tier of services? Now, this tier, not tier, tier of services. For rural Namibian, dressed up as a progress. Yeah, for us now, 5. Well, I'm not saying it is nothing. Okay, got me right. I'm not saying it's nothing. Something is always better than nothing. But let's be honest about the gap. About the gap, you know, between now the urban infrastructure and the rural one. Now we given, what does it really even contain? I'm asking this because that's my, you know, it's also my region. Yeah. Now, issue number three I have is, it's also job, you know, 45 jobs. If you read the article, but the question is for how long? Okay, the project is expected to create 45 jobs per facility during the construction phase. Okay, 90 job across both sides. That sounds good. Okay. Okay. A very good morning to you.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good.
Mm.
So maybe I think they are going to do it according to the, I don't know whether it's FIFA, this the sports body.
Yeah.
That they said our field, because our sports field should be at the acceptable standard, level standard.
Mm.
And if they are talking about all those basic things, because when they came to assess our sports field, they were saying that they lack most of the basic standards, basic necessity.
Yeah.
So that I think it might include now the toilet, where the first aid rooms, and all those things.
Yeah.
I cannot remember now most of the requirements.
So, but that's what it means when it's a basics. Hmm.
So what the other things could they say? The basic, if you cannot have the basic ones, how will you have those grant ones? So, but because the basic, including the toilet, the first aid, and all these other things that can be there.
Yeah.
So it's just that I don't have that paper where they always mention about our sports.
Yeah, no. I get your point. The point really that I'm raising is that the transparency in terms of that, when we talk about the basic, what are those? So that even when we now, the one avatatungiroka pari, those of us who have now have, we know that, you know, also looking at, if we're talking about the basic, if we look at the basic and we look at the 5 million, and then we'll be able to say, the 5 million will not be able to meet the basic. Yeah? If we're talking about it has to be grassed, it has to be having lights, it has to be toilet, it has to be what and what and what, you know. So otherwise, when we don't know, you know, it's given to a certain company, they just, that was the basic. Yeah? You understand?
Because
yeah.
Usually, before you budget, the budget is determined by the activities that will be done there. You say now, if the budget is 5 million, for example, that means that 5 million is allocated. Every cent is allocated to activity. Then that's why the activity, when they are identified,
yeah,
and then they are costed, then you come up with the figure of 5 million.
Yeah.
So maybe what you need to look at is to resist what the requirements are. And I'm sure they just have to finish up at once instead of coming again, and they are doing it maybe based on the standard that they said we should meet.
Yeah.
If our fields that are being constructed should meet those standards, require standards, so that we don't come back again and add more activities. And I'm sure maybe 5 million could be enough for those activities that will be done there.
All right, Hunger Bwana, we come to an end. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. So yeah. So let me just take about 3 minutes from Tate. Tate France, just to round up this. The issue number three is about jobs, the construction. The project expected to create about 45 job per facility during the construction phase. So there are two, that would be 90 jobs across the both sides. So that sounds good. And for the families of those 90, you know, people, it is good. Real income, real dignity. We don't miss that. But construction phase jobs are temporary. So when the facility is built and then the contractor pick up and leave, those 90 people go back to the street. So they go back to the streets. So the real question is, what is the plan for the facility after it is built? Who manages it? Who maintains it? Who employs the goal, the groundskeepers? Who will be keeping the ground, caretakers and coach or whatever? So where is the post-construction employment strategy? So all that need to be in place, because Namibia's biggest challenge, this is our biggest challenge, is with public infrastructure. It's not building it. That's not our challenge. Our challenge is sustaining it. Yeah? It's sustaining it. We have seen community halls built and locked up for years. Yeah? We have seen houses, you know, incomplete, you know, half built and incomplete and stand there for years. Road built and broken. We cannot afford for these sport facility to become another monument to good intentions. So number four, quickly, issue number four for me is SME and local participation. So we are told that local SME will be subcontracted on various aspects of this project. Now, the RCC has partnered with the Emirates Trading CC and a local construction firm. Now, that is positive, okay? That's a positive thing. The idea of circulating money within the local economy, I think that's a good thing. Keeping the dollars in Oshana, keep the dollars in Oshana, exactly what development should look like, okay? Now, but here is the accountability question, okay? Now, how do we, the public, know which SME will be chosen? What criteria has been used? First of all, we're talking about RCC. We don't even know how RCC has been chosen. So now we're talking about the Emirates Trading CC. I have nothing wrong with that, nothing. But what are, how are the SME will be chosen? What criteria are used? How do we ensure this does not become a list of politically connected businesses rather than genuinely local enterprises, local small enterprises? Okay? This is not cynicism, okay? This is the lesson of Namibia public procurement history, my friend. So good intention at podium do not always translate into a tender at the table. It doesn't. Yeah. So, and the issue number five, quickly, Mr. Franz, a 5-year plan for 11 constituencies. I want you to do the math. The government has said this groundbreaking symbolically covers all 11 constituencies, but the actual construction roll out over 5 years. Now, that means some constituency are waiting until 2029 or 2030 or 2030 and not 2020-30. So they have to wait until 2030 before a shovel touch actually their ground. Now, 5 years is a long time in the life of a 17-year-old, you know, 17-year-old dream. But this was also budgeted actually for this year. And nationally, 121 constituency at this pace and budget. How long before every constituency has a facility? And at 5 million each, are we talking about facility that will still be relevant and functional a decade from now? Or will they need upgrading before they are even, you know, fully used? That happens sometimes. So, yeah. Let me end here before Mr. Franz, you know, take a gun and point at me. All right. So yeah, that's all right, Namibia. Let me bring it here. Let me end up here for today's our discussion. Thank you for those who participate and for your contribution. That's the reason of this program. It's for you to bring in your opinion and your ideas and your reaction to the stories that we bring to you. So
Well, from me, Michael Shaveli, I'm going to leave you with that difference coming up with Kuthamosha, and we're crossing over to Windhoek. Let's do this tomorrow again at the same time here on your favorite station, Eagle FM. Bye for now.